The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. Oh, the same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley.
My heart will sing your praise. promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. Still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
Hallelujah. We have reasons to have confidence in you. You are the unchanging changer, a God that will never fail us. For you are altogether true, altogether faithful, altogether trustworthy. Lord, O God, we come before you and ask, O God, that the very essence of you fill us through and through, as your word has declared. We'll receive the faith of our Lord to stand in the integrity of who you are and to become everything you say we are. Lord, O God, that all may know that truly you are God, sovereign. You reign over all, and your kingdom has come, and your will even now done in the earth as it is in heaven. Blessed be your holy name. Build of your church. Build the church. An unshakable church. A church of God that cannot be thwarted from purpose. A church that's established in your loving kindness and tender mercies. We give you praise for this church and thank you, Lord, that it is done. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so. Amen and amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to have you here this evening. those of you here in person and those that are online. We're studying through the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to go back a little bit to build back into where we should be. We're going to take it up from verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. It says here, For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That 15th verse is part of why our name is the way it is, the name of the church that is. But what I want us to see here is not readily obvious, but he says something to us in the 14th verse. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason. What reason? That he will grant you. Verse 16. That he will grant you. I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The reason I'm bowing my knees is that he will grant you. Now, that is a remarkable statement to make. That one man, because of what he is doing, that certain things are going to happen. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit is our intercessor. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is our mediator. But Paul is making a very serious claim here. Why is it that he's able to make that claim? Because he's very clear about this. In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me. And what is he communicating to us about prayer? He's saying that when we pray, we are changing things, not just for ourselves, but for a whole host of people. Because we are praying the will of the Father in the earth. He says, I'm praying that the Father, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, will grant you, will make you a grant, according to the riches of his glory. I'm praying, I'm on my bended knees before the Lord, so that God will grant you the riches of his glory. And this riches of his glory is to accomplish certain things, to be strengthened. Because of the riches of his glory, you and I are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So we are strengthened in our inner man because we've been granted glory, the riches of his glory. We are now strengthened in our inner man. What is that supposed to do? That Christ may dwell. In other words, first dependence, I need to pray. I need to make a declaration based on who God is. He is the Father of us all. We've been named by him. And by my prayer, I'm praying that he will grant you strength in your inner man. Why? That Christ. In other words, if you're not strengthened in your inner man, Christ cannot dwell in your hearts by faith. But if I don't pray, you do not become part of what God is trying to do. Not because God doesn't want to do it, but because God is calling me to play the role of an intercessor, to pray and declare that people become part of the family of God. So we see from Paul that we have a role. Our role is to bring people into the family of God so that they come to a place where they are strengthened in their inner man. And if they are strengthened in their inner man, it must be because they are weak in their inner man. And if they are weak in their inner man, they cannot have Christ come dwell by faith in their hearts. Ah, so that's the key. When we're praying for the salvation of people, we should be praying, God, strengthen them in their inner man so that you can come. Because Paul is telling us a key right here, Christ cannot come into them and dwell in them if they've not been strengthened in their inner man. Oh, is it possible that we, by not doing that, have not won more souls to God? By just saying, God, strengthen them in their inner man so that they can assimilate the love of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But God has given to everyone a measure of faith. So everyone has a measure of faith given to them. Just like God pours rain upon good and bad, and the sun shines on the good and the bad, God has given a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So there's a measure of faith that's been given. And back to Ephesians. Chapter 3. That he, the Father, will grant to us, verse 16, grant to us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The riches of his glory. Well, Romans 3:23 tell us, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So they don't have the riches of God. We all have sinned. And so we've come short of the glory of God. But Paul is saying, my prayer, the reason I'm on my knees is to make certain that the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, will grant you according to the riches of his glory. So now you're not short of it. Riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In John 14, the Lord says that because we're walking in love with God, that he and the Father will come and make their abode in us. So Jesus comes and dwells in you and I because of our walk of love. That's interesting. Because he's telling us that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith. It says in John, I'll take it up from verse 19. He says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. 20. At that day, when you see me, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, my words, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that has my words and keeps them, he is the one that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I'm going to make myself manifest to him. Why? He hath my words and he keeps my commandments. 22. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If he loves me and keeps my word, I'll come and I will make my abode. Let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 3. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Take me to 16 first before we go to 17. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. John 14 tells us that he will come and make an abode because they keep his word and they obey him. They love him. So what is this being strengthened in the inner man then? Being strengthened in the inner man is the capacity that is granted us to love God, to have a walk of love with God. And to love God, he says to us, You can't love him. The only way you can love God is that God first loved you and has shed his love abroad in your heart. So what is the point? And remember, faith worketh by love. Faith works by love. So we have to have this love of God for faith to be able to be effective, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. In other words, the ability to have a relationship, a continuous relationship with God, is based on you knowing that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what is Paul saying to us? Paul is saying to us, let's go back to verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, of whom the whole family, that is everybody. Everybody has been named by him. How did he name? He named us by calling us his beloved. This is remarkable, because what God is saying is this: nobody needs to perish. Nobody needs to go to hell. Nobody. He's paid the full price for everyone. Everyone has an opportunity because he's marked everyone himself, giving everybody a particular name, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. God named you. That he gave you a name that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. So the ability to have Christ dwell in our hearts by faith is founded on what? That ye being rooted, present tense continuous, rooted and grounded in love. So the atmosphere for which you are receiving this grant is in recognizing that you are loved of God. So that tells me something. People don't know that God loves them. And for them to know that God loves them, they have to be strengthened in their inner man. Strengthened to do what? To resist the devil and his lies. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why are they walking after the Spirit? Because the Word of God is present in them, and they are grounded and rooted in the love of God. But ye being rooted, what does that mean? That means that you are, no matter whatever it is that's happening, that's trying to uproot you, you are consistently, there's a resistance that is keeping you established in the love of God. Man may accuse, demons may accuse, diabolical forces may come and attack, but you are consistently staying rooted. I belong to God. God loved me. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. The godly for the ungodly. I may have done something really ungodly right now. so I still qualify. I will continue to serve the Lord. I am not going to run away from God. I'm going to run towards Him. I'm going to cry unto the Lord and say, God, you are my source, you are my salvation, you are my peace. Yes, I messed up, but this is not news to you. Because something's happened on the inside. If it hasn't happened, then you are going to basically undo yourself by the accusations of the enemy. You have to stay present tense, continuous, being rooted, being grounded in love. Why? Verse 18. So that you are able to comprehend, grasp, understand, receive, and walk with all saints. Understand what is the breadth and length and depth and height. The breadth, that's the width. The length, that's understood. The depth and the height. Ah, now we've got a situation. The depth and the height. They move in the same direction. Length, I understand. Width, I understand. Height. Depth. What's the difference between the height and the depth? The height is what you see from the outside. The depth is what you see from the inside. The depth is not visible from the outside. The height is very visible. And God is saying, there is a depth, there is a height to the love of God. Now, what a remarkable thing about depth. Is that depth deals with not just the inside, but the outside. So, what do you mean by that? It gets confusing. Well, the depth of the outside is when you see yourself as a unit being dropped in what love is. How deep does this love go? Where is the bottom to this love? And the depth is, it is bottomless. Now, let's not confuse this. Because you can think about that depth of the love of God and think, wait a minute, that means I can do whatever it is I want to do, whenever I want to do it, however it is I want to do it, and then it will be okay. Ah, no, 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 no. John 14. That's not the point. You see, the love of God is not about a license to do whatever it is you want to do. The love of God and the depth of the love of God is this, that yes, you're a keeper of the word of God. You love God. You're keeping the word of God. But if you blow it, God is still there. If you've been strengthened in your inner man to cry out to God and say, God, I repent. I don't know what crazy thing got to me, how I messed up here. I receive mercy. I receive mercy. And you know what, child of God? If you expect that for yourself, you got to extend it to other people. Just love. It's important. So there is a height, and there is a depth. How deep does it go? I don't want to sin, so I find out how and how deep it is. Romans chapter 6 says something to us in the early verses. Paul says to us in Romans chapter 6, starting from verse 1, 2, and 3. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, which causes us to fall short of the glory of God, live any longer therein? We don't live any longer in that. Where do we live? We live rooted and grounded in the love of God. How and what should I do? If we believe in him, we should not perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why aren't they perishing? Because they are allowing the life of Christ to live in and through them. That's why. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, identified into Jesus, abiding into Jesus, dipped into this Jesus, were baptized into his death? And verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's that word now. The glory of the Father. Again. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So the glory that comes upon us causes us to walk in newness of life. I have a new life. I'm walking in that new life. I'm abiding in that new life. So this love of God does not make me live in sin. It makes me live a new life. But if I stumble, and that is, it says that the person that is born of God cannot sin, because God's seed, 1 John, God's seed abides in him. That's a strong statement. Why is it that he cannot sin? Because the grace of God is intervening. The blood of Jesus is constantly, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, is constantly cleansing us from all sin. Why? Because we are repenting. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that does not make us practice sin. It only causes us to come into an awareness. You see, what happens ultimately then is this. If you make a practice of sin, you break off, you begin to poison your in a man's ability to be aware of the love of God. Your relationship is estranged, and an estranged relationship with God ultimately ends up being a separation from God, which means that you will, some people don't like to hear this, you can lose your salvation practicing sin, because you become hardened to the word of God. You become hardened to it, and you start embracing what is wrong as if it were right, because now you are blinded. Quick to repent is a clear-cut manifestation of the fact that you still have a love relationship with God. And you cry to God and say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Help me out of this. Get me out of this. Help me. But if you are resisting, pretty soon you're going to quench the Spirit of God. And the Word of God says, quench not the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is what is going to woo you in. Ah, watch this. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you've sinned against the Father, you'll be forgiven. You sin against the Son, you can be forgiven. Sin against the Holy Spirit, because you keep on quenching the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness. Because the Holy Spirit cannot, the image of the Holy Spirit is like the dove. The more you keep on shooing off the Spirit of God, one day he won't come back, and you lost. You just lost. But the Father's love, there's no end to it. You practice sin, you get hardened. And playing Russian roulette, you blow yourself up. So practicing sin, you cannot embrace. Back to Ephesians 3, verse 18. We need to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height. 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It is an amazing love, an amazing grace. Why do you and I need to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge? That, qualified again, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, that ye might be filled. That means that you're not yet filled with all the fullness of God. But being aware of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, can bring you to that place where you are filled with all the fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? It's a simple word. L-O-V-E. God is love. God is love. So being filled with all the fullness of God is being filled with the love of God to the overflow. How is this accomplished? Hear the word of God, you are a doer of his works. accepting the love of God in your life. When you accept the love of God, the identity politics of the world and systems of the world no longer have sway over your life. You just know, I'm loved of God. I'm called of God. I'm chosen of God. I'm ordained of God. The hand of God is upon my life. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Yeah, but you did this. Thank you for reminding me about that. Father, I repent of that accusation right now. I run to you, my rock, my peace. God who's loved me with an everlasting love, I receive your love. I fell, but I thank you that you bear me up with your right hand of righteousness. You establish me. I thank you, Lord, oh God, that you loved me in spite of me, fault and all. And Lord, oh God, that you are cleaning me up and making it possible for me to stand in the fullness of righteousness that I have with you. That's it. Being aware of God's everlasting love. Everlasting love. But remember what I said earlier. The danger is this. You keep on practicing sin, you will not know that God loves you. You become estranged. So don't play those games. When I can do whatever it is I want to do, God loves me anyway. Okay. Play that game. And one day you'll find yourself too far off. And you will not see land. Jacob was just as bad as Esau. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. Why? He sold his birthright. And when he wanted to change, there was no repentance for him. Now, that is something that you cannot mess with. Peter betrayed the Lord. He swore, I don't know this guy, blah, 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 blah. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead and told the disciples to go and announce to the rest of the apostles that he's risen, he said, also tell Peter. Was it possible for Judas to be forgiven? Absolutely. But what did he do? He hung himself. Colossians tell us that the blood of Jesus Christ satisfies for everybody. Jesus, God's love, reaches all of his creation. Not just those things that are on earth, but those things that are in heaven. Principalities, he tells us. Powers. Describing satanic forces. The blood of Jesus is able to cleanse everybody. Is the devil going to repent? No. Is it because, wasn't there provision for salvation for the devil? Oh, yeah. Is he going to accept it? No. Does God give him all kinds of chances to repent? Yes, even an extra 1,000 years. Does he change? No, because he is hardened in himself. He thinks, I can do it without God. Don't go there. God wants to fill us with the fullness of who he is. Verse 20. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, throughout every dispensation, world without end. Amen. Now unto him. Now unto him. Verse 20 again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Will to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Philippians 2 and verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ah. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure being acts of faith. Acts of faith which work by love. It is God which worketh in you. God worketh in me. Both to will and to do. Now, leading to that particular verse, 13 in Philippians 2, is 12. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, because people think, well, they want to live right in front of you. Do everything right. But he says, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. In other words, when I'm not there, when nobody's watching you, are you willing to do the right thing? Talk the right way. Or you some demonized person when nobody's around. Jekyll and Hyde character. Personality. And people are around, just wonderful personality. As soon as you step away from where people are, it's crazy. What is it? Reason. people act that way because they don't have a true reverence for God, a true fear of God. And the reason they act that way is because they have put man above God. What do you mean by that? Well, if I act one way in front of you and act another way when you're not around, then I have limited God to being present only when you are present. So I've limited God. And a God that you can limit that way is a God that cannot help you when nobody else is there. Because you've limited him and said, since there's nobody here, God is not here, I can do whatever it is I want to do, whichever way I want to do it, and nobody knows. That's a lie. Let me state that again. You act that way, and you limit the ability of God to work on your behalf when nobody's around. Because you think when somebody's around, that's when God is around. In your thinking. Now, how can God work on your behalf when you are not there? Or when nobody else is around? If we want to be filled with the fullness of God, then we are saying, I want to be in that flow where my physical presence doesn't determine what kind of results I'm going to get. Some material thing is not going to determine what I'm going to get. But I can speak the word only, like the centurion said, speak the word only and my servant is going to be well. You're a man under authority. So who are we? We are under authority, that's why we obey. I'm obeying the words of God because I'm a man under authority. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Huh? Work out your own salvation? Yeah, that's what it's saying. Like my dad will say, when I said that to you, did I have water in my mouth? In other words, wasn't I very clear? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. How are you working out your own salvation? By verse 13. Watch this. For it is God which worketh in you. Oh, work out your own salvation. How? But God works with you. Being in partnership with God. Are you in partnership with God? You receive the love of God. And this will of God, both to will, the love of God, causes me to will righteously and to do righteously according to His good pleasure. And you cannot please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Faith worketh by love. We were saved by grace through faith. Saved by grace through faith. That's how we got saved. And that's all God is saying. Let love reign in your life so that faith can accomplish its purpose in you. And that faith is the God faith, and it will help you live out a godly life where you're not Jekyll and Hyde, where you're not one thing in public and one thing in private. Because you know, God is everywhere. God sees all things. God knows all things. That means that people might be saying, oh, you did this, this was okay, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. But you know inside of you, no, what you guys are thinking I was doing, and you're thinking I was trying to do the right thing, really what I was trying to do was the wrong thing, and what you don't know. Therefore, I repent, not based on what people think or say, but based on what I know in here. The heart of a man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But God. That means that when God points at something, that I respond, and I respond quickly. I repent quickly. I cry out to God quickly and stop trying to fool anybody, because you're not fooling anybody but yourself. You know, if somebody, I'm going to be done in a moment, is abusive to their spouse, and they have the nicest makeup and hide all the bruises and whatever, does that mean because nobody can tell that that man is not abusive, or vice versa? But we play those kind of games. You know, you're a chain smoker, but nobody knows it, because you have all kinds of perfume and chewing gums and whatever, and so on and so forth. Does that make you not a smoker? I'm not saying whether you smoke that's going to get you to heaven or get you to hell. I'm just saying, because you're hiding it, you can camouflage your situation. You can pretend through whatever, and you've got a good mask on, and nobody that you know knows. Does that mean that the wrongness, that bent in you that you're not dealing with, stops existing because I don't know about it? Well, nobody knows about it. Nobody in my church knows about this, and nobody knows what this and what that and so on and so forth. Does that clear the issue? No, it doesn't. And basically what Paul is saying to us is, come clean, obey the love of God, keep his commandment. God is going to come and abide in you, and you are going to be fully equipped to accomplish everything God wants you to accomplish in this life, throughout all ages, world without end for you. Praise the Lord. We'll stop there today, and we'll pick it up in the next chapter next week. I trust that you and I are learning something, and that we are being changed because of the presence of the goodness of God in our lives. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you for your everlasting love and for the things that you have already done. We cry out to you, O God, for supernatural change in every aspect of our lives. The Lord, O God, that we are not hypocrites that reduce the truth to a livable lie, or be people that are pretentious, living a double life. But Lord, O God, that your grace, O God, will help us address the issues that we must address, not because we've been caught red-handed doing something wrong, but in spite of that, Lord, oh God, we are able to come before you and say, Lord, thank you for grace, thank you for forgiveness, thank you, Lord, for the redemptive work, oh God, that you've accomplished, and for your peace which passes all understanding. Help us to live life to the full. And may our lives, O God, testify now and always that you, O God, art a good God who has loved us with an everlasting love. We receive the wisdom of the Spirit, and we comprehend with all saints what is that length, that breadth, that height, that depth of your love. And as we comprehend it, let your love cause the faith, even the measure of faith that you've given to us, to get the God kind of results. As we speak to the mountains of our lives and say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for the opportunity to share the word of God with us this Wednesday. And we look forward to being together next Friday for a time of prayer and intercession. And while I'm at it, may I please remind you that we have special meetings coming up. July the 21st through the 23rd. This particular conference, I believe, is very, very important. And I pray that God will help us receive the full impact of this particular conference. Now, it's going to be starting on July the 21st through the 23rd. As I've stated over and over again, you have till the 12th of this month to send us your questions related to spiritual warfare or whatever question you need to be addressed, but preferably questions that have to do with spiritual warfare, since this is going to be a spiritual warfare conference. Whatever the question, there are no silly questions. You may know the answer to the question, but you feel that somebody else needs to, it's a question that needs to be addressed for the benefit of the masses. That could be an act of love. Send those questions. We want to address as many questions as possible. Again, send it. You can send it directly to my email, zino@shaw.ca. That's zino@shaw.ca. That will come directly to me, and we'll be able to look at it. But it has to be with us before the 12th or by the 12th, because shortly after that we are going to be doing the recording in which we'll be addressing your questions. Let's watch the video real quickly. Having problems. Push back the darkness and redeem the times. Hallelujah. Victory, we win. Praise the Lord for that. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Remember, the Word of God says that when we honor God, that God is a God who multiplies our seed sown. And tonight, as you invest, see your giving as an investment into the banks of heaven. God will, from that account, pour out manifold blessings upon your life, upon you, upon your children and your children's children, your family, your business, whatever it is that you lay your hands to do, that the hand of God will be there with you because you are a partner with Him for souls. Amen? Hallelujah. Honor God with that. Just release it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord, O God, for the gifts of your sons and your daughters. Everyone, O God, that has become a covenant partner with you by their sacrifice. Reveal yourself to them like never before. For those that love you, keep your commandments. And the commandment that you've given to us is for us to love you and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the greatest expression of your love for us was when you gave your only begotten Son for our salvation. And our greatest expression of love for you and for mankind is to be vehicles through which the message of love, of salvation, can reach the masses. Help us, O God, to be in line, in partnership with you for souls. We release our offering. Let these offerings of your people, O God, be that extra energy, that extra push that helps us reach the masses, and doing so speedily to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. We look forward to seeing you this coming Friday. Love you, and good night.